hope everybody's enjoying their Tuesday. Some heat warnings in some portions of Saskatchewan and the extreme southwest of the province. Right now, heat warnings as well up towards LaRange, Montreal, Lake areas as well, as we're expecting getting to the high 30 or mid 30s, and then it'll cool off. By cool off, I mean it should be like 25, 24 for game day Friday.
Perfect. That
looks like a lovely night.
Perfect football.
For football, or if you're going out to Country Thunder, or if you're getting a team ready to go to the World Flag Football Championships in Canton, where Mike Thomas is headed with Team Canada, with a group of 10 Saskatchewanians for the 14 and under group who are taking part in the Flag Football World Championships. Mike Thomas, the head coach, joins us now, and of course, director of football Saskatchewan and all things flag football for the NFL in Regina. You're not busy at all, hey, Mike?
No, not at all. And as I'm speaking to you here with our U18 provincial team that's getting ready to go to Antigonish for the Football Canada Championships as well. So definitely football in the air. And as you mentioned, great time of the year here, and hopefully bring home a championship in the next little bit.
Mike, how do these teams in Saskatchewan stack up against teams in other parts of Canada and in the U.S.?
You know, it's interesting that you ask, because we've done extremely well considering that we are just such a small area relatively compared to a lot of other countries and provinces that are participating. And when you look at the amount of players that we've had that have gone on and have had the success, you know, at the various national events, it's truly amazing that, you know, a province like ours can produce the players and then have the results and exceed expectations that we put upon ourselves year in and year out.
So at these world championships, I'm familiar with this on my daughter's a competitive cheerleader. They do this in cheer too when you go to an international event. Do they take out, like, do the American teams play each other and then there's an international side with, well, you've got Mexico, Great Britain, Puerto Rico, Brazil, Australia, Germany. Is that how these championships work?
Yeah, so that's what they have with the NFL flag international components, is that they do have those countries, just as you mentioned, that do play in their tournament format. But I do have a situation that we were, our team had an opportunity to be down in Orlando last year, early 2024, and they put us in the American side. And so it was a lot different of game and flow, but it also gave you a sense of, how do you stack up against the Americans now? And you know what? It was a great event for us. We were third after day one out of 32 teams, which I think surprised a lot of the Americans. And you know, it was great for them to recognize and understand that, you know, Canadians obviously have a stake in the game. You know, we can come up and play and play well. And unfortunately for us, we ended up falling out in the quarterfinals to the eventual winner, and that was kind of tough, because we were winning that game for three quarters of the match, and then, you know, it was only within the last two and a half minutes that we lost that. So, you know, when we, you know, the previous question in regards to how do we stack up, we're right there step for step. You know, we can play, and obviously I think it has been shown here with our national teams that were just down in at the International Cup in L.A. a couple weeks ago with Paul Appelese, who's the head coach of the senior men's team, and Rachel Lessard, who's the head coach of the senior women's team. They went 7-1 in competition there, beating the Americans. The guys did. They were 4-0, you know, and the girls were, the women, sorry, were, you know, 3-1. So that shows you the level of play has been augmented across the country, and definitely have some studs and some really good players here in Saskatchewan.
We heard about that, Mike, from Pat McAfee. You know what, I want to bring up something just from a from my own sort of personal experience. So we moved here last year. I've got a dog. I do a lot of walking around my neighborhood, and there's parks and grassy, and my wife and I at one point a couple of months back wondered if every child in this province was playing flag football. I was blown away by the number of kids that are participating in this, and the number of fields that get taken over every weekend. Have you got an idea of, like, the numbers, Mike? I'm guessing you do, but
yeah.
What are the numbers like? And not that we need to, but let's compare it to tackle, like flag versus tackle under 18.
Yeah, so, you know, when we look at the numbers for Regina, you'd be kind of remiss to not think that when you look out on the park and see a bunch of kids playing flag, which is awesome, which is we truly love, and it's great to see. We had just over 3,500 kids playing flag here this spring, which is unbelievable to be able to have that. And then this fall, we're just finished registration and we're just shy of 1,700. So, you know, like almost half of the league is still playing. Now, in comparison, fall is usually a tackle football standpoint type of thing. And so, you know, here in Regina, obviously Regina Minor Football does a great job in terms of minor football here in the city. And their numbers are great as well. Like they have growing, blossoming numbers, and we really work well off of each other. You know, for those individuals that want to play tackle that may have joined up in flag, we're like, hey, you know, go do tackle for sure. And then also we have the reverse where some kids may start in tackle, may not enjoy it or whatever, and want to still play. Flag is definitely an option for them. So I think the one benefit of it is that, you know, when you look at the game itself, the inclusion component in terms of, like, you know, play and those sorts of things, it just lets you have a little bit more action. You know, you're able to be a part of plays. You're able to contribute a little bit more. And it's compact and it's quick. So, you know, I think that's really been the benefit of the game. And when we look at it comparatively to, say, tackle, it's right now in the province, obviously, because I can speak on that being with Football Saskatchewan, that it's basically 50-50 right now in terms of flag and tackle players. So that really kind of, you know, gives you a good snapshot of what that looks like here from a provincial standpoint. And then the big component is that flag is the, you know, fastest growing sport that we're seeing, kind of in terms of the major sports out there. And one of the big groups are our females, which we've been very, very fortunate to have some great players come through. But even though that we've had that, it's been a great avenue for girls to be able to join in a sport where they might be playing with their peers, but then enjoy the game, which they come to feel comfortable in. And that's something I think that has been really great for us to grow and build on this as we've done in the last little bit.
Mike Thomas joining us from Football Saskatchewan, of course, running the Regina NFL flag football and the head coach of this team heading to the World Championships at Canton next week. Let's focus in on this group of 14 and under, 10 players, some from Moose Jaw, some from Regina. How familiar were they before this team was formed a couple of weeks ago to qualify for this?
Yeah, you know, it's actually some of these kids they've been together since grade two, you know, and not playing flag per se, but, you know, it really started with a bunch of kids that we had that were playing club basketball together. And, you know, the kids pretty much all over in the north end of the city. And then, you know, we just kind of started playing a little bit throughout the years with different kids in different areas, so on and so forth. And actually how it really kind of all came together was that, you know, to those kids that are coming in from Moose Jaw, you know, we actually played against them in a couple tournaments. And we're like, man, these guys are good. You know, like, it'd be great if they could play with us. And so when we went to a tournament, we actually lost. And then we reached out to them and said, hey, I know you guys are tired of losing to us, so you want to come join us? And then the rest has been history. So, you know, we've had a great success with this crew, and they're just super pumped to be able to go down there and compete. And the awesome part about it as well is that we just talked about tackle. Six of those players just came off of the U16 championship with Team Saskatchewan at the Western Challenge in Winnipeg. So, you know, they go from playing tackle, they come into play flag. So multiversed athletes, different skill sets, but still a great passion for football and looking forward to representing not just Regina, not just Moose Jaw, not just our communities, but not only our province, but our country, which is always so special.
Very cool.
To be able to put on the maple leaf and be proud to represent our country down south.
You know, it's interesting, Mike. We've had more than a couple of flag football conversations in the last couple of months here on the Green Zone. And you brought up something that has been brought up before. Is there parallels between flag and basketball?
Yeah, well, you know, when you think about it in terms of just the, you know, when you think about the games themselves, You know, in order to have successful plays and flag, there's got to be, you know, obviously spacing involved, and no different in basketball, right? Like, if you're trying to run certain plays, you need to make sure you don't clog the paint, because then all of a sudden you don't give an opportunity for your, you know, your point guard to run the lane or be able to dish and pass and kick it out and those sorts of things. And it's same thing in flag. Like, it's all timing based. It's all these things. So, you know, same thing in basketball. If you're all of a sudden running a high-low offense, it's got to be the right time and when the posts are coming up to set the double screens coming off. And then obviously same thing in flag, like if you're trying to run, you know, some certain concepts, that it's all relative in that sense. So, you know, the great thing with some of these guys that play basketball is, you know, and the girls that play basketball as well, is that, you know, you got to be able to go up for a rebound jumping, right? You got to be able to be moving quickly with your feet on the court as a defensive player, right? That's lateral movement, quickness. You know, the quick movements in terms of, you know, if you're coming off a screen, coming off something quickly, if you're running a pattern, is running your route at the same depth. So there are a lot of parallels to that, which allows players to be able to utilize the lessons learned within flag to other sports, whether it be tackle, catching the ball, throwing the ball, pulling the flag, those sorts of things. It's all connected. So I think that's where that helps a lot of kids in other sports. And even those that are playing soccer and hockey, it really is something that they can take away with them to take back to their main sport, if not flag isn't that. But to certainly ensure that they are getting other athletic abilities or learning other lessons through playing flag as well.
Mike, I'm also curious about they get to go to Canton. How much of that do they get to enjoy? Like, how pumped are they about playing flag football at a world championship, but maybe going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the birthplace of football?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be exciting. I know the boys have really talked about, you know, not just the opportunity to play these other countries like they've done in the past, but taking in some of the history of football, right? Being in Canton, the Football Hall of Fame, you know, the one great thing with this is that, you know, we are representing Team Canada, but we are definitely in part of the NFL global markets. NFL Canada is, you know, our kind of our header for us. And so, you know, we've been in communication with them to try to do some external things. So I don't know if any of the people on the team are listening, but we're going to be going to the Cleveland Browns facility after it's all done to be taking a tour of there. So, you know, that's also a great thing, is that you get to not only be a part of, you know, this whole NFL flag experience, but then you're going to the, you know, the Hall of Fame, you're going to another NFL facility, you're taking in all of the football parts of things, and also get to be on ESPN, Disney Plus. Like, it's great. And so you're going to get an experience of a lifetime down in Canton for sure.
Mike, we had Paul Appelese on. We had a conversation with him, and I know he's touched base with you about the senior team. So there's lots of conversations happening right now about Canada and flag and the Olympics. And the one thing that I really got my attention, we had Tavon Campbell on, and we got into I don't even know how we ended up getting into it, Jamie.
Well, we just asked him about, you know, maybe the Olympics, and his eyes lit up. He was like, let's go. I want to play.
Yeah, Mike, he was in the room with us, and he was notably like, he was like, oh, that's a thing. Yeah, like, I am all over that. How much interest do you think you're going to get from the professional side of the CFL and the NFL for Canadian athletes to jump into this flag program for the Olympics?
You're definitely going to see it for sure. And Tavon is actually a perfect model for this, because for him himself, he also dabbled in bobsledding to be a part of the Canadian National Bobsled Program.
That's right.
So he definitely understands the opportunities that are there from a secondary sport component at an Olympic side of things. Now, it just now happens to be in the sport that he currently is employed in and has been able to make a good living off of, which is kind of another sense of things, right? So, you know, when you look at it, there definitely will be some professional flair that will be there. However, I say that with the understanding and the knowledge in the sense that it's definitely going to still be comprised of probably, I would say, if we could say 60-40, probably the guys that were the ones that got those countries to those national programs and to those international championships or events, right? Because you know, it's great. Yes, Canada, U.S., they're going to be amazing and awesome because of these professional leagues that we've got. However, don't sleep on the Italians. Don't sleep on the Danish. Don't sleep on the Japanese. Like, these countries play flag all the time and have done so for many, many years. And not saying that we haven't, but they are not as adept from a tackle side of things. But it's a 180 when you go to the flag side. So, you know, it's definitely going to be something that, regardless of who's out there, professional or not, and I do think there is going to be some CFL guys that will be there, past CFL players. You saw it. You know, Michael O'Connor was a quarterback for the team. You know, Anthony O'Clair was, you know, a big tight end with the squad there. So you are going to have some guys that were past players, maybe some current ones potentially. I don't really see how that's going to work too well within the CFL calendar, considering it's right in the middle of their season. I don't think J.O. is going to let Sam Emilis off the roster to go play. But, you know,
that's a good point.
Exactly, right? But yeah. He might let, you know, stay someone who may have been picked in the draft that's a practice roster player that's, you know, pretty good that could potentially contribute, right? NFL is different because they would be in their off season. They're getting ready for training camp and potentially, you know, would allow some guys. But, you know, I think some of those owners would be conscious of a guy that's making $100 million all of a sudden going to play flag just before their season starts. So, you know, it's relative in a sense, but it is going to be something that's going to be super exciting. And I think when you think about the Olympics, Summer Olympics, what do people think about, right? Track and field.
Yeah.
You know, some of those other, you know, big sports that's really the highlight. Flag has really gotten that
break dancing too,
and yeah. But flag has gotten that. It's gotten that. All of a sudden, it's getting that front page look, right? It's not that page two, not that, you know, B section. It's now front page, you know, top right hand corner kind of. People are giving more attention to it, so it's going to be exciting. And definitely, you know, I find myself really intrigued to see how it's all going to play out in the next little bit.
Well, Mike, we'll let you run back to the U18 practice before, of course, on Thursday night, another practice with this 14 and under group. Best of luck. Thanks, in Canton.
Mike. Good luck, Mike.
Thank you so much, guys. Much appreciated. We definitely know we've got Saskatchewan behind us and the whole country rallying around us next week.
That is Mike Thomas, head coach of a team heading to Canton for the World Flag Football Championships. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Damian Locker with you here on a Tuesday afternoon here on the Green Zone. I am very interested, Locker, on where flag football is going to go.
Yeah, I am as well. I'm fascinated by it because I had no idea how big it was until I came to this province, right? And I know that this is a microcosm of a larger thing, and I know that flag football, but it has not taken off in other parts of the country like it has in Saskatchewan.
Well, the league, Mike Thomas, and thanks for him for joining us. As,
but when you were away.
Ready, he is somebody who they won. They won the best league, NFL flag league,
yeah,
in the world at the convention they have in Atlanta. Like, that's how big this league in Regina anyways has become. I know Saskatoon, it's a popular league there too. Yeah. So,
when you were away last week, Jamie, we did we had a quick conversation about whether or not, and listen, I admitted right out of the gates, I can never see a day where I'm going to Pocket, going to a stadium, grabbing a beer and a hot dog and sitting down and watching flag. Like, I can't wrap my head around that, but I was talking about the popularity of the sport. And I think we will get there where flag catches up with tackle. It might be 20, 25, 30, and a lot. And you know
well,
what?
In terms surprised. Of like participation in the youth age, it pretty well has in some areas, has caught up. But when you talk about professional popularity.
Long way away.
Long way away, yes. But after the Olympics, I'll be interested to see where this goes. Because if they do it right, you're not going to one game. You're not buying a ticket to go to Mosaic Stadium to watch
the Saskatchewan
team against the Winnipeg team. You're going to have Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, and they're all playing three or four games in that 2 hours or 3 hours when you're there against each other.
They would have to do that because the matches are too quick, right?
Absolutely.
30 minutes or how long or how long is a game generally?
It's generally about an hour total.
Okay.
You're in and out of there in an hour or less.
I haven't sat down and watched an entire game. I've just caught it as I'm walking by the fields, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, hung out for a couple of minutes. So I don't know a lot of the details. I know some of the rules, like the half. You got to get past the half, and then you get so many downs to get to a score or whatever, right? Yeah. Interesting. It is. And it's also interesting because Canada, we might not have the athletes that the U.S. has, but I get the sense that we're smarter about building teams and strategies and things like that. Because Paul Lapolice, when he went down to that friendly, he surprised a lot of Americans.
Oh, and ticked off Pat McAfee. How dare really Canada upset. Beat the Americans?
Yeah, what are you doing? This can't happen.
I know. We have the athletes, but we also have the football know-how, too.
We don't have the numbers, though.
We'll never have the numbers.
Yeah.
But all you need is the top 10 in Canada can match up against the top 10 in the United States. It's just about how well they're coached. And when you have Paul Lapolice coaching it, you see, coaching matters. Let's get to Britton Gray.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
If you're putting together a flag football team for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Oh, yeah. Who are you grabbing?
Who's your 10 guys? What 10 do you think?
Do they have to all be Canadian, or are we just anyone on?
No, the any 10. Any 10. Yeah. I'm interested. Like, you need a quarterback. So, yeah. Trevor.
Tavon Campbell, just one of those pure athletes, you know. Mm-hmm. Sam Emelis, Keen Schaefer Baker, some of those pass catchers. Put me on the spot here. I mean,
some DBs.
Nelson Lacombo, he's an athlete. One of those other guys who is an athlete. I know some people don't like maybe how he plays safety, but boy, just a pure athlete. Roland Milligan, obviously the football smarts. There's a lot out there. I will add about the flag football. I did talk to Corey Mace kind of about how many more Canadians are becoming top players in the CFL and how the talent, mm-hmm. more Canadians. He credits flag football for getting people more involved at a young age and seeing it grow, because how many stories do we have about guys in the CFL who I never really played? The coach kind of had to convince me to do it in high school. Never really wanted to play football because they all want to play hockey. They're all hockey players. Until they get convinced, start playing football in high school, and that's almost their first time doing it. Flag football is helping people fall in love with the sport at a much earlier age, getting it more involved, and now you're really starting to see it. We mention all the time the level that is out there now.
In my son's friend group, they're already talking about, and of course we're talking about 7 and 8 year olds here, they're already talking like, when can I play tackle? Like they watch the Riders and go, okay, I want to put a helmet on too. But they play flag, and that, as you said, gets them in the sport at a younger age. And I think that's what Stuart Johnston did. We didn't have time to get into it with Mike. I wanted to know, has Stu given him a call yet to get the CFL involved outside of...
Well, and you mentioned
that conversation with Mike. We said the three letters of NFL over and over and over and over again.
Well, and the NFL got behind flag right away.
They had the pilot project for the CFL in Saskatchewan, and all of a sudden they just were like, "No, we're not going to renew the pilot project with CFL." And that's when Mike had to go and get the NFL involved. And
but it is interesting bringing up Corey Mays, and then that stigma between tackle and flag is diminishing. Right. We saw it last week when we had the conversation. There was people like, you know, flag is it's a stupid sport. I'm never going to watch. I would never wrap my head around that. But my grandkids like it. Right. But that's coming down in the tackle world. There's a more of appreciation for flag now. And
Joe Robustelli, he started playing flag football, right? Never played tackle football.
That's how he got into it.
Yeah.
No, that's how he got into the game. Like, he was a tackle football player, and then he left, and then he
got back into it through flag.
Was on the U.S. national flag
very football good flag
team.
Football player. Yeah.
So I'm speaking of Joe Robustelli. Still want to see that breakout game from Joe. Might be his one of his last opportunities to do it with Sam Emilis. Not quite ready to play, Britton, this week. What do you think?
No, still very limited. They used the word limited on the injury report. It was pretty much a did not participate from everything I saw out there. Wasn't doing too much. Robustelli, Trevor Harris did have a great pass to Robustelli. Found him right deep. Would have been for a touchdown. So maybe this is the week we finally see him explode here. But yeah, opportunities you have to take advantage because you never know how long it's going to be. And I would expect Sam Emilis to probably be back next week. And Sean Bain Jr., that he's still hanging around. He's still there. We know how good he can be when he's healthy. So
they weren't playing. They weren't practiced today, though.
No, they once again, like I said, Sam Emilis was limited. I can't remember Sean Bain Jr.
Sean Bain
also
was
limited.
I was watching him take some punt returns, but that was about the extent of it.
They're working off to the sidelines. It's a very loose term, limited. I'm not sure exactly what the threshold is anymore for that.
TBH, was he out there today?
No, he'll be gone for a while, I think. He hasn't been out there in anything, not even running out there. Unfortunately for him, Trevion Tate, as we mentioned, his arm's in a sling. Tavon Campbell, that's interesting with the groin injury. Didn't really participate yesterday. Didn't even have on a jersey today. He was out there in street clothes. So something to keep an eye on there because I was trying to think. I couldn't recall him getting injured in that game against BC. Antoine Brooks Jr. came in late, but I'm not sure if that was for Campbell or not.
No. Campbell did go down in that game. I do remember that. He did.
Okay.
But then I think he came back in a little bit. But it'll be interesting to see.
That's the game he had the pick six in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So when you look at this team, they can make that switch. Antoine Brooks can play corner. They are not in a shuffle the deck with the ratio because Zach Fry will go in for the American Trevion Tate. So it's a pretty easy flip that they can go five American defensive backs and three Canadian offensive.
Don't look at me for math.
They were starting, I think, eight Canadians in the last game. Yep. This team has started eight Canadians a lot, and they have that depth. They have a lot of great players, and a part of that has been the great drafting Jeremy O'Day has done. They have a lot of talent that they've been able to find. And, they have an opportunity to do that. I'm excited this week. Kadeem Carey looks like he's going to be rejoining the roster.
Well,
and him and A.J. Ouellette, you get a spell from A.J. Ouellette and you have Kadeem Carey running down at you.
But if you have Thomas Bertrand Houdon on the sidelines, if he's not playing, how does that work back to the ratio conversation? You Kadeem Carey.
So, because Thomas Bertrand Houdon will come off. Noah Zaire will come on because he'll be the sixth offensive lineman because you're bringing in another Canadian there.
And Trevion
Tate comes off for the injured list, which lets you put Kadeem Carey on for the American. It's an easy switch this week if you're making that move.
Okay.
The only other switch is the Tavon Campbell one if he's not going to play, who slides in that spot.
Probably. And you have to put a Canadian there, right?
Probably a Canadian.
Malik Straker is back to playing, so they could bring him back to practicing, so they could bring him on for Campbell. There a lot of easier switches this week instead of we having to do two to three moves to get one guy on.
Let me just say this. This is why you need top Canadian talent when you can go, okay, this guy's in, this guy's in, this guy's in, and you're not scrambling. And the depth the Riders have is a huge credit. To what? Jeremy O'Day, sorry if I'm just being a homer for Jeremy O'Day again.
Well, we've established that over,
but he
played some time, you're a homer.
And Kyle Carson have built the Canadian roster of this team up to the point where it is so deep and talent across the board that they're not scrambling.
Some easy switches.
Right? And the guys that are going in?
Yeah.
They can play. Absolutely.
Yeah. So are you getting a sense that, just based on what we heard from Trevor Harris earlier, that this team is not going to take the Stampeders lightly, though?
No, they won't. I don't know if you can anymore, frankly, with the way Calgary went in and handled business against Winnipeg. They're a 3-1 team right now. Absolutely. All the credit to them. You weren't... Their defense, I think it was 12 new starters this year. They completely rebuilt that defense. You weren't sure what you were going to get. All you got is maybe the best defense in the CFL right now besides the Riders, but their defense is solid. Vernon Adams Jr. hasn't had that blow-up game like we kind of see him every year. Usually you can count on one or two games where he throws four interceptions. He's been very good at handling the ball, finally threw some touchdown passes, which is what we know we can do. And boy, Dedrick Mills, he is a problem right now for defenses.
But so is A.J. Ouellette from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
1-2. Might one and two in the standing or in the rushing battle.
Might be a bold prediction question on the rushing battle between Dedrick Mills, A.J. Ouellette, Kadeem Carey involved in that one. But Britt and Gray coming up on Truth or Trash Tuesday, 4:35. If I'm going to give you a scenario. Are you a believer that the league needs to get to 10 teams?
120%, you need 10 teams.
Now, clearly there's no solution in Canada. So the solution,
it'll happen,
is making a 10th team be from the United States. Yay or nay?
I'm going to get rid of all the political stuff going on because it's tough to make that argument now. But if everything was neutral,
bow those down, so to speak. What do you say?
Everything was neutral. I think you should look at America. Las Vegas is getting involved in every single sporting entity out there, so I'm sure they would be willing to. You can play at UNLV or whatever.
Bring your own anthem
there.
Singer.
They'll have to learn the anthem a little better, but
it's not row 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 your boat. Anyway,
there's a lot of
it was
stadiums.
Old Christmas tree.
Old Christmas tree. Oh, was it old Christmas tree?
It was old Christmas tree.
I just think there's a lot of stadiums in the U.S. that are more built up football wise.
I don't like
it. Find a way to put a team there.
I don't like it.
1-877-332-8255. If the scenario to get a 10th team is this, the one team in the United States, thumbs up or thumbs down. We're going to play Truth or Trash Tuesday a little bit later on here on the Green Zone.
You can't remove all the political. That's not fair. You can't do that.
Well, that's not going to be around forever. You can't play.
It's going to be around for a couple more years at least.
Maybe. Maybe not. You don't know what the guy in orange is going to do down there at any whim of a minute. He might get rid of the terrorists tomorrow. Who the heck knows? Maybe he's having a good golf day. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All the texts are coming in hot. I'm going to give you a scenario to get the 10th team in the CFL, even schedule. The Grey Cup, instead of being played November 20th, can be played November the 4th. A 10th team, but the only solution is it's an American market for a 10th team. Halifax has said no to a stadium. Victoria's not in a hurry. You're running out of places. So, if the solution would be a 10th team in the United States, would you be yes or no? 1-877-332-8255. We're going to play Truth or Trash Tuesday at 4:35. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Injury report again from the Rough Riders, and it looks like Sam Emilis and Tavon Campbell may be no-goes for the game against the Calgary Stampeders on Friday night at Mosaic Stadium. In a few minutes, Gavin McKenna is going to actually be appear on ESPN and declare where he's going to play hockey next season, the Medicine Hat product, and help lead the Tigers to a WHL championship and a Memorial Cup appearance. Will make his commitment to an NCAA school, likely Penn State. We're going to talk to John Keane about that. He's covered the WHL for decades. The impact of Gavin McKenna choosing the NCAA over the CHL next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.